Today we're going to go on in the direction of Hilchot Shabbat, and we're going to talk about opening up containers on Shabbat. Containers such as bottles. Can I borrow that Coke bottle there? Well, you need it during the shiur. It's empty. Containers such as cans. Containers such as bags of crisps. Or even potato chips. Yes, I can borrow that later. When you finish, I'll borrow that later. But what I would like to do is give you a little bit of a deeper understanding vis-a-vis the Av Melachot, what the issues are, and the do's and the don'ts. I think almost any food that's contained in a closed container, there's some halachic way that you can get to it without getting anybody angry. Dead or alive people. Alive or dead people. I think there's a way of getting to the food in a way that is mutar l'chaladeot. But you should just be aware of what the issues are, and let me start. Let's first talk about three av melachot. The first av melacha is soter. Soter is destruction. It is the sister melacha of construction, or boneh, right? A normal definition of boneh is to build a structure, to build a house, is an iser of boneh on Shabbat. But you don't have to complete an entire house. Even building part of a house is an iser diraita of boneh. As an example, to knock a nail in to the wall, or fix a door to the wall, would be an iser diraita of boneh. Okay, because you're doing construction. And soter is deconstruction, basically to take apart something, but all the av melachot have to be done in a positive way in order to be a deraita. In other words, if you destroy something in a non-constructive way, meaning not for the positive purposes of reconstruction, but just to destroy, then there wouldn't be an isa deraita. Okay? To remove a nail because it's in the wrong place, or it's sticking out, or it's bothering, or whatever, and that would be to do a mice of steel for a constructive purpose. If you, destroy a doghouse because you need that area to build a bigger and better doghouse, so that also would be a steer al manat lifnot, and that would be also midiraita. Okay? Now, the question is, do these halachot also apply to things that are not structures connected to the ground, but kelim? What's the translation of the word kelim? Utensils. Right? Utensils? A fork is not a kli. A fork is a kli, it's not a vessel. Okay, but a utensil. If I would create a utensil, a toothpick, let's say, is there an iser of boneh if I pull from a piece of wood, I pull a splinter to fashion a toothpick for myself? Am I kind of be over on the iser of boneh midiraita or not? Now, there are mainly two different sugyot that seem to be soter one another, a contradiction. Where there's one sugyot that says you could take, let's say you have an earthenware jar, a barrel that's filled with figs. So you could take a sword and just lop off the top of that barrel, destroy the barrel to get to the figs. And the Gemara there says it's mashal that it's mutter. There's another Gemara that says if you pull a splinter out of a piece of wood or out of a branch in order to make a toothpick, you're over on Issa Diraita, okay, of boneh. So the Rishonim are split on it. Is boneh also boneh bekelim? Also midiraita or mutter midiraita? And believe it or not, they've come out three different shita or three different groups in the Rishonim. You have the Rashba, the Ritva, the Ran. That all hold that ain binyan v'stira b'kelim. There is no din of binyan. There's no isa deraita when it comes to kelim. It's only structures like a house and something connected to the ground. What binyan v'stira?
Which
Ritva? Which people?
Yeah.
the Ritva, the Ran, the Rashba, okay, all hold Ein Binyan V'Stir B'Kelim. It simply doesn't apply. So how do they have to explain the Gemara about the Kisam? So they each one have their own particular answer. Tosus and the Rosh hold that there is Binyan and Stir B'Kelim, okay. There is an Issa Deraita, so then why when you use lap off the top of a barrel is it mutter in that case? So they said that's talking about a barrel that was re-glued together, mustiki, from the word mastic, was re-glued together, and that barrel there was no Issa to destroy. Okay? The Rambam and the Rif are of the opinion that there is an Issa of Binyan Bekalim, but there's no Issa of Stira Bekalim, which makes a lot of sense if you think about it. Because even if you do it for positive purposes, when it comes to a kli, destroying a kli cannot be considered a malacha. Malachas have to be something more positive. You know, stir al manat livno when it comes to a building makes sense, but not when it comes to kelim. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, like Tosus and the Rosh, that there is an issue of binyan and stir of a kelim, but not if you have a kli mustaki, and we'll get to an application of that. While interestingly enough, the Gra is cholik on the Shulchan Aruch, lahalacha. He says the Shulchan Aruch is wrong, and he passes like the Rashba and the Ran that there's no binyan v'stir b'kelim at all, and there's no restriction according to the Gra. So keep that in mind. It's an important thing to file. The second malacha that you might meet when coming up to these halachot before you get to the practical application is makeh b'patish. Makeh b'patish is a very weird malacha. It is not quite binyan. It's not quite like anything else. Makeh b'patish literally means hitting with a hammer or the finishing touch. When a blacksmith would be fashioning, I don't know, a knife or a fork or whatever, so the very last touch of the hammer is called the finishing touch. And that makeh b'patish, that finishing touch in and of itself is an isur malacha av malacha midiraita. It's one of the 39 malachot. The Rambam gives an example. If a person has a jar, a vase, let's say, that he decides, or a vase, and he decides he wants to decorate with flowers around the rim, so he says that decoration, the act of doing that decoration, is an isur of makeh v'patish, because for that particular task of building that jar, that's the last thing that you're going to do before you use it, and therefore it's a finishing touch and it's a makeh v'patish. Yes? Exactly, that's the example of the vase. In other words, the vase is usable in its form, it's a kli, it's completely utility, you know, no problem, but you decided that during this process of creation that this is what you want to do and you want to decorate it. That's makeh v'patish.
Are there any times where you're being makeh v'patish but not doing any other law, any other thing around the law book? You're not going over any other. It seems like makeh v'patish really.
Let's say you take you have a fork, okay, and it's a little rough around the edge or something like that. You give it a tap with a hammer. What malach are you doing? It was a fork before. It was a fork before. You didn't add anything onto it. You didn't take anything off of it. You gave it a tap with a hammer, straightened it out in a certain way. This is makeh v'patish. Okay? If a person does that with kavanah to finish a kli, so let's say the raita. If a person does it without that intention, okay, there's a gzeir d'rabbanon that you shouldn't do it. Shema, you're going to go ahead and do it some other time. But that's the din of makeh v'patish. We'll get back to it as well. The last malacha that we need to know before we get started is the malacha of korea. Korea is the sister malacha of tofer. Tofer means sewing two cloths together. Undoing those cloths is called korea. Okay, or cutting is korea. If you cut for the purposes of sewing, meaning it's again a positive act, so then that is the definition of the deraita. You're over on the deraita. Alright? Now let's get to an application, but we'll first start with a braita, a very interesting braita in Beitza. The braita says, Mutar lekroa ha'or mi'al pi hachavit. It's mutar to tear the leather that's attached to the mouth of a barrel. They used to seal barrels like that sometimes. They would take just a piece of leather and lash it, around to make a tight seal. It's muta to tear the koroa ha'or al pi achavit, ubelvad shli lo yechaven la'asod zinuk. as long as he doesn't have intention of making a spout. As if you cut a hole in just the proper way, so then you've created a spout so that when you tip this barrel, it will, the liquid will pour out nicely in a nice spout. You cannot be mechaving to make a spout. Okay? So, Rishonim asked the question, why should it be mutter to tear this leather? It's an Isser of Korea. How could it be mutter to do? Right? It's an Isser of Korea. So, there are, I mean, generally you can give an answer, well, if you're not making a zook, if you're not making a spout, so you're doing it, derech kilkul. Derech kilkul meaning in a negative way, you're not doing it for a positive, constructive act, it's inherently a destructive act. And it's a destructive act, it's not also a midiraita. That's true, but all Rishonim hold, that if you do a malacha derech kilkul, it's not an issa deraita, it's still an issa derabana. And therefore, what bothers the Rishon, bothers the Shitor, is that how do you explain this case? It should be also midrabanan, even though Korea in this case wasn't for positive purpose, right? But it should be also because it's an issur derabanan. So there are three basic answers given by Poskim. The first one is given by the Shulchan Aruch Harav, okay, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, and he says that Korea, by definition, is only if you separate two connected bodies, two connected objects, let's say. Once you have two pieces of leather or two pieces of cloth, and you completely separate them. If you separate those two, that's the definition of Korea. If you have this piece of leather on top of the barrel and you make a slice in it, you didn't really separate anything. And therefore, it's not that you did Korea, but you did it derech kilkul, you didn't even do the definition of Korea, and that's why it's mutter. So, you know, he comes up with a basic explanation of Korea. Rav Lichtenstein very much likes his direction in understanding the Hagdara, the definition of Korea. Okay? That's the separation of two bodies, and a very good example is to be opening up two pieces of plastic or two pieces of paper that are glued together. Is a problem of Korea because you're opening up on the seam. You're opening up a seam. Okay? That's more problematic. It's less problematic to slash the same piece of paper, or to rip the same piece of paper, because that, according to the Shulchan Aruch Harav, that wouldn't be a definition of Korea. Yeah?
Does that require that the two things were put together first? Meaning you have one leather thing.
Yes.
Since it was created.
Yes. No. If you have, let's say, a piece of cloth and you cut it in half in order to, you cut it in half for whatever purpose you had,
right.
According to him, that might also be correct, being that you're separating the two bodies.
But
the basic definition, what he understands, is to open up a seam. Yes.
But if it was one body in total, you just wrap the wrap.
And you unwrap it.
And, no, not even that. But you just, it's like it's folded in half and it's sewn on top. One body still.
Oh, you mean even after you cut it, it's still one body? Well, I'll get to it. But from his definition, what he holds, and he applies it to an envelope, opening up a letter on Shabbos. Okay? He says to open up a letter on Shabbos, even though what you're inferring to is you're not ripping the letter into two pieces, but you're opening up the seam where the you know, you shouldn't be opening up the seam where it's attached together.
Hmm?
You're saying ripping would be less of a problem, like the case of ripping the leather. Okay? Yes?
Is the emphasis upon the fact that it has to be two pieces of material, the emphasis is upon the fact that it wasn't completely separated with the leather barrel? Does it have to be two pieces of the same material still together?
He's saying that I think he's making both points. In other words, number one, you're opening up the seam. That's the basic definition of Korea. And number two, separating those, taking one body and separating it into two parts, two distinct parts, would be Korea. Okay? The second answer is given by the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says that the definition of Korea requires careful cutting. In the Mishkan, you know, they would, let's say, if you get a hole in one of the Uriot, so they would carefully, let's say, cut it across or cut it whichever way, and then they would re-sew it with, you know, and make a seam. A careful cutting is a basic definition of Korea according to Chazon Ish. Haphazard ripping, where you don't care how you rip it, according to Chazon Ish, he holds that doesn't fall into the definition of Korea, and that's why it's mutter. Okay, it's similar to the answer in that it's not the definition of Korea, but it's a different, it's a different differentiation. The third direction is mentioned by the Ran in Shabbos, but quoted by the Mishnah Berurah by Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal. And basically held, the question was that if I do it derech kilku, not for positive reasons, it should be also Madura Banan. So the answer, the Ran answers, that Chazal, Rabbanan, were not gozer, the gezer of derech kilkul, because the whole gezer is, don't do it derech kilkul, maybe you'll do it even when it's shalot derech kilkul. They weren't gozer when it comes to food. And this is where your mothers or your grandmothers might have said to you, oh, for food, it's okay. Okay, it might have sounded a little bit nuts, but it's not nuts. Okay, in other words, for the purposes of food, they weren't goes at this particular gzera d'rabbanan. Be careful; it's not any gzera d'rabbanan that for any d'rabbanan's mutter for food, and it's clearly not a d'oraita's mutter for food. Is this particular din of derech kilkul? They weren't goes there litzorach ochel. Yeah. No, the Chazon Ish says that cutting is careful slicing, not haphazard.
Yes, yeah, so I would always say mechatech, like separating
order pieces. Mechatech is for when you cut a rigid body, is mechatech by wood. Korea is a subtle body like plastic and leather and cloth. Yes?
I think I missed something, but
No. In other words, when you focus on the malacha per se, the malacha is not a positive act. Yes, I want to get to the figs, but if I smash the barrel is not called a positive act. You follow, a fringe benefit is now I can get to the figs, but the act per se, if I focus on the act, it is no way considered positive. It's not the same thing as unscrewing a screw, you know, for because you want to, you know, put the door on straight. That would be soter, you know, for a positive reason. Okay, those are the three heterim, and in truth, you know, poskim embrace all three. It's not as if you have to choose one to answer up the sugya. It's like most of the time people believe in all three. So, in other words, instead of being more machmir, it comes out with these three different answers. The direction of poskim have is to accept them. But you would understand that logically. You don't necessarily have to. As the Mishnah Berurah never mentioned the Chazon Ish's Heta and didn't really believe in it. Okay, and likewise, the Shulchan Aruch Rav didn't answer the Chazon Ish's Heta or the Mishnah Berurah's Heta and didn't believe in the Heta of, oh, Tzerach Chilkul Ochel is okay. But generally speaking, there are poskim that kind of accept all of them. I'm sorry, let me get to more of the stuff first and we'll have questions later. Now I want to go to practical applications. Let's talk about cans. Opening up a can. Okay? To open up, let's say, I don't know, a can of Coke. Or a can of tuna. Let's focus on Coke first. You want to open up a can of Coke on Shabbos. So what are the possible problems? One possible problem is stira. That you are destroying a container. Because before you had a container that was able to contain liquid and hold in the carbonation, etc. And now when you make a hole in it, when you pull the tab, it's no longer that type of a kli. So you destroyed the kli that existed before. Okay? On the other hand, one might even claim that it's bona in that you're creating a new kli. Before it was a kli that just contained the Coke, now it's a kli that you could drink from, that you could pour into a cup with a nice spout, etc., etc. And it might be a problem with bona. According to the Shulchan Aruch, as I mentioned, we paskin that there is an issur of binyan and stira. However, we also mentioned that the Shulchan Aruch held that it doesn't apply to a clean mustaki. And the question is, can a can be looked at as a clean mustaki? Now, again, just to go back to what was a clean mustaki, they would have a broken earthenware vessel. They would re-glue it together in order to fill it with food, etc. And Tosfos says, when it's a kli mustaki, there's not an issur of stira. To break it is not a problem. Rav Felder, Zatzal, one of the really great poskim, Rabbi Yisoda Yeshurun. I think he lives in Toronto. Who said yeah? Huh? Okay. Yeah, you heard of Rav Felder? Okay. He wrote the Yeshurun. Anyways, so Rav Felder basically held that containers nowadays, milk cartons, and I don't know, in Israel, bags of milk and cans, etc., etc., all would have a bit of a mustaki, because they're not really meant to last a really long time. You're meant to use them and throw them away. Now, the svara to be cholik on Rafelda on this point is basically to say that, well, there's two aspects of the mustaki. One is maybe it's not a very choshev kli because you're going to throw it out. But the other aspect is it's also not such a permanent kli because it's just like glued together. And a can of tuna is very permanent. A can of tuna could really outlive us all if left alone. Okay? And it's going to really stay forever. It's not like a weekly. And, you know, that's a point to be called. Another point is that the mustaki was just going to solve the problem of stira. It doesn't solve the problem of bona. Are you creating a new kli? Now, if you're a Talmud of the Gra, if you held like the Gra, he passed in like the Rishon, that ain't binyan of stira became at all. And therefore, there would be no issue at all to open up a can. Other than that, you could perhaps go in the direction of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish comes up with a kula. This is the second kula of the Chazon Ish I'm going to tell you tonight. The first one was haphazard ripping is not considered korea. The second one he said was that a can, when closed, is not a kli. Because he felt that a kli, by basic definition, is a utensil, and that's something that could be used and reused. And a closed can of tuna cannot be used and reused in its form. It has to be changed in order to be used and reused. And therefore, by definition, it's not a kli. I discussed this once with Rav Lichtenstein. Rav Lichtenstein was not quick to buy into it. You know, he questioned that idea, whether it's not called a kli. He felt it's a kli. It's a sealed kli, but it's still considered a kli. But the Chazon Ish felt it wasn't a kli. And therefore, according to Chazon Ish, again, that would alleviate the problem of soter from a different perspective. When you open up a can of Coke, you also have to deal with the lav malach of makav epatish, because by creating a spout, you are improving the kli. Okay, and that also has to be dealt with. I don't think it's an issue of korea, because, as I said, for rigid things, it wouldn't have a normal din of korea. There's another heter that the Shulchan Aruch mentions that might be applicable. There's a din called chotlot. Chotlot were sacks of dates, and dates would be harvested. They would be harvested not fully ripe. They put them in these sacks that were made out of lulav, out of palm leaves. They would make weave like a sack out of it. And when a person wanted to eat the dates, he would slice open the sack, and the sack would basically come apart completely when they would slice it open. And the Shulchan Aruch says it's mutter to slice open those chotlot, those bags or sacks. And the question is why? So some explain, because the chotlot, although they are sacks that are usable, but they really have no purpose other than to contain these foods. And as soon as you open them, they're going to come apart. And therefore, they didn't have a chashivut of a kli. And that, if you think about it, is a very interesting modern, you know, parallel to a lot of these containers. Like the Yisod Yishurun, you said that the container, even a milk container, is not chashur. Now, Rav Lichtenstein felt you have to differentiate between a milk container. I'm talking about the Chutz La'aretz ones, where you open and make, you know, you rip it open and you make a spout, and then you can close it and put it back in the fridge and use it a day or two later. There, it's hard to say that the container has no chashivut. You're using it as a vessel and as a container for those few days that it's in the fridge. If you open up a can of tuna and eat half of it and put the rest in the can back in the fridge, so something your parents would never do, but I'm sure you would do it, and probably do it already in yeshiva, right? So you're using the can as a kli. And therefore, it's hard to say, oh, that, you know, it's the same exact thing as chotlot. Even a bag of crisps or bamba, if you eat half of it and then roll it closed and put it away, Not too many people are capable of doing that, but there are those people who could do it. You're using the big, meaning in the future, so it might not be exactly like the din of chotlo. And therefore, there's a little bit of a discussion on that, whether it would be considered chotlot or not. Just a moment. Wait, just a moment. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, well, that's as far as I spoke about cans. That's the issue of cans. Now, how would I open up a can in such a way that the holiday would be okay? I'm not sure. Well, I said it was possible. A can of, took my can of tuna. Okay? So, the way I personally, l'chadchila would not open a can of tuna on Shabbos, I would do it before Shabbos. But let's say someone shows up in the middle of the day and I want to make a nice shalosh shudas or something, I feel need to open up a can. This is what I would do b'shas atchak, meaning I want to be mechabit, a guest with some tuna fish. What I would do is I would take the tuna can, open up the top three quarters of the way. No, I'm sorry. Back it up a little bit. I would take the tuna can, I would puncture a hole in the bottom of it with a can opener, and do this, by the way, over the sink. I can tell you from experience. Okay, you puncture a hole in the bottom and the oil starts to leak out, and then you go ahead and with a can opener open the top lid 3/4 of the way and then bend it open. What are you doing? You're basically you're opening up a can without making a usable can out of it. In other words, there's no one alive that would use this can now.
Why do you open only 3/4?
If you open it up all the way, you could put your marble collection in it after you finish cleaning out the tuna. Once you have, if you have a lid stuck to it still, so it's even less likely to be that much usable. Now, what about the problem of stira? In other words, when you made the first hole in it, you were soter, and that's true. In other words, either you're going to hold like a Chazon Ish that doesn't believe it's a kli, but not everybody agrees with Chazon Ish, or you're going to, let's say, hold like the Gra that holds Ein Binyan v'Stira v'Kalin, and therefore it's not a problem of stira. Or maybe you're going to hold that this can of tuna has a din of mustaki, and therefore it would be mutter. Okay, but if you don't believe in any of those above three, then you're over on the issue of stira.
Okay.
Pardon me?
For food. Are we not?
Oh, that's only matir. That's matir. Well, you're saying you're being makalkel. You're doing stira v'derech kilkel. Maybe you could be samach on that. For food, it was more applied to Korea, but yeah, maybe you're able to also rely on that. But what I'm saying is that there's all these ideas that come together, and that's probably okay. What you want to really be careful is not to create a kli. Creating a kli is a difficult thing. Now, to open up a can of tuna in a regular way, where things could be stored in it, even if you personally don't feel like storing, that's more of a problem. But even that, by the way, again, so the Yeshua knows, a lot of posts would hold that it's basically okay. Somebody showed me a tshuva of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach that was published after his death, written before his death, that said that he believed that a can of Coca-Cola has a din like either like chotlot or like an agoz, like a nut, meaning that the whole purpose is to contain the food. No one really uses the can afterwards. You pour out the content, and it's more of a tircha to smash a hole in the side of a can of Coke, which is what I would probably do if I wanted to get Coke out of it.
That's not Korea?
No, it's not Korea. To smash a hole in the side of the can and let it dribble out, he says that's much more of a tircha, and what for? It's just like a nut. This is what he wrote in a very late tshuva. And therefore, he was also taking a similar direction of the Yisoda Yeshurin, minimizing the importance of these disposable containers. But again, I think you have to mechalek between a Coke can, which is, almost nobody would put the Coke half drunk back into the fridge, and something like, let's say, a milk carton, which is, used and reused until the milk is finished. Okay? Yes, questions so far? Yes?
Are these situations subjective? Meaning, like, I would never reuse a can to go?
No, they're not. I asked Rabbi Chutzin that. He said no, they're not subjective. And something, there's some people would never ever use a can as a kli, but there are enough people that would use a can as a kli. Yeah.
So two questions about the coke. So it's okay because like you're just basically throwing it away and not going to reuse it again. It's too much of a tirchah.
There are many poskim that would say it's okay. Yes.
Including
again, I personally would not. I wouldn't do it unless it was some kind of shasatcha. I wouldn't do it lechatchila to say, oh, it's okay to open it. But there are many, many poskim that do it. You know, I've seen extremely, I don't know how to put it, frum-looking people opening up cans of coke, and I'm explaining to you what the heck there is. But yeah, yesh al milismoch to open up a can of coke.
So what do they also do about the Spanish? Because you're making more back of the
country. I don't know. I just know I saw my own eyes of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who's my hero, and he said it. He said that he doesn't think it's a problem.
And then
I don't have an answer for your question. This spout, I just don't know.
Does intention matter? Like for example, you say, oh, no one's gonna put it back. I've seen
people open up coke cans like halfway and pouring when, you know, basically when the spout is not such a great spout. But so yes, subjective at what?
Like you know, like with like the bag of like Mamba, okay, you think you're gonna finish it, right? So like when you start your like intention is to finish it.
I'm a little bit worried I'm not gonna be able to finish, but if you remember your questions, I'll try to answer yours and maybe other questions before the end. All right. Very quickly. Bags. Rav Moshe Feinstein holds that if you take a bag, like a bag of sugar or a bag of bamba, whatever, he holds there's no issue of stira, because stira is only if you have a rigid structure. He felt that there wouldn't be a din of stira. Okay? What about a makeh bepatish? What about, in other words, if you open up the bag in just such a way that it becomes a neat little container for you to now stick your hand in and leisurely eat? So it might be an issue of makeh bepatish. What about the issue of choreya? If you're opening up the glue, it's not really glue, it's heat sealed, but opening that up might be a problem of choreya according to Shulchan Aruch Harav. So you should really best avoid that. Now, when opening up a bag of bamboo or crisps, the proper way to do it, do you have that bamboo available? The bag? You what? I asked you not to. In front of all these people, I said, don't throw it out. I was serious. Okay. Let's imagine for a moment that it's full. We're trying to imagine that it's full. Okay? You take the bag with your left hand, okay? Exposing the seam over here. Now, the advantage of the seam over here is that there's no writing. And you want to try l'chadchila to avoid cutting or separating letters. L'chadchila. If it happens, it's not really a big fate, but you should l'chadchila try not to do it. Okay? So you expose its underbelly. You take out a sharp knife, and you jab it with a downward motion, okay? And basically, open up, you slit open that part of the seam. And then you have a bowl, you had a bowl ready before you started, and you basically open it up and dump it all in the bowl in one shot. Now be careful in the jabbing, because your left hand is behind the bit. When you do that, you have to be careful. But that's, if you open up a bag in that way, so then mamash l'chol adayot, there's not a problem. Okay? And that's really the best way. To open up like this, number one, it might be a problem of Korea according to the Shulchan Aruch Harav, because you're opening up a seam. And the Rukhan seam is not good on that, on opening up seams. And number two, you might be creating a new kli of some sort that didn't exist before. It's better not to do that. Okay? Just a second. We'll get questions later. Four questions. Now I get to my best pet peeve, and that is soda tops. Okay, soda tops. No. The top. The top is a kli. It's not a kli because you're drinking from it. It's a kli because it's a utensil that you could screw down and unscrew. Screw down and unscrew. Okay? And therefore, that makes it a utensil. Now, before you separate this ring, you can't do anything with it. In other words, when that ring is attached, when you buy the coke, there's nothing you can do with it. It's not useful for anything. Even if you were somehow able to melt this bottle from underneath it, or break it, or whatever it is, and get this ring, you wouldn't be able to use it to close and open, close and open. It's by breaking this ring, what you're really doing is make bepatish, because it's the very last step that a person takes when wanting to use one of these caps. And therefore, in my opinion, it's a problem maybe of bona, but certainly a problem of make bepatish. Now, let me tell you why all the gadolim think I'm wrong. Alright? Or maybe know that I'm wrong, or whatever. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach originally wrote Derech Shmir Shabbos Kehilchosa that a top like this, okay, there's no way you could really open it, because it's makir patish if you do this, and if you break a hole in the top of it, it's a problem of soter. Okay, what he did say was that if you have like the metal tops that you get on top of Masoret wine, for the yeshiva wine, okay, those metal tops are crimped or formed in place, and they never really had a din of a kli. They never were a kli at all, so that if you stab the top of it with a knife, so it's not really stir bekalim, because while it's connected, it's not really a usable kli. So you stab the top of it, now you have a hole in it, and then you open it up to take it off, and you haven't created a kli, and it's not makir patish. And that's the eitzah that he gives in the Derech Shmir Shabbos Kehilchosa.
You jab it,
and you make a hole. But with this plastic, with this type of plastic top, it's much more difficult. He later came out with a Tosafot that seemed to describe a different type of a top, that you have a metal top that embedded in its rim is a plastic ring. And he felt that that type of top is not a problem to open, if it's a separate thing. But from my understanding, this top is problematic. Now, when he said that, Rav Avadya Yosef came out with the tshuva. You're all familiar with Rav Avadya Yosef, right? Rav Avadya Yosef came out with the tshuva explaining why Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was completely wrong and why this type of thing is mutter. And he says like this. He takes a case from the Gemara that's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, that if you have an oven, in the good old days, an oven, in order to seal the heat in, they didn't have rubber gaskets. So what did they use to heat the heat in? To seal the heat in? What did they use? Clay, mud. They would close the door, okay, and then they would take mud or clay and smear the seam to basically completely seal all the air in. And then on Shabbos, or whenever they wanted to take the challah out or the cholent out or whatever it is, they just pull on the handle and break this seal. And the Shulchan Aruch says that's mutter to do. So Avraham Yosef asks, why is it mutter to break the seal? It shouldn't be mutter. The reason why it's mutter is because this clay is put there intentionally to later remove. And if I put something there intentionally to later remove, it's not a problem of makir patish. Understand? And therefore he says, so too, this ring is originally put on in order to remove. And if I put it on in order to remove, it's not a problem of makir patish. Now, you all might have your fantasies of different types. I have a halachic fantasy. And my halachic fantasy is to be stuck in an elevator with Rav Avadya Yosef. Just me and him. Okay? So that we could duke it out on this particular issue. Because I have two big questions to ask him, and there's no way on earth I would get to him unless we got stuck in an elevator. The first question is the basic definition of makir patish. Makir patish is not if you take a 20-year-old oven and every Shabbos you smear clay on it and then to break it off. That's not makir patish, because makir patish by definition is the process of manufacturing or creating a kli. The last stage that you would do in manufacturing a kli is makir patish usually. Okay? You perfect the kli as part of its process of making. It's the way you use the kli is constantly to smear and to break it off and smear and break it off. So of course it's not makir patish, and of course it's not considered bottle to the kli, a part of the kli. It never becomes part of the kli. That's true. But here in the manufacturing process, it's made like that. milachatchila, and the very last thing you're going to do, because it wants to be safety sealed, is break that seal off. Okay? My killer raya is a Gemara that's also brought down by the Shulchan Aruch Lahalacha that says that if you buy a new shirt and the collar is sewn closed, okay, and you would ask, why would they sew the collar closed? Because they didn't want to give away free pins, okay, and they also wanted to show the buyers that it was never worn before. So the tailor, after he would make a shirt, would take the collar and sew it closed, even though it was a perfectly good shirt before he did it, but he would sew it closed in order to be able to sell it as a new shirt. The Shulchan Aruch says, when you take that shirt home, you're not allowed to snip those threads on Shabbos, because it's a problem of makeh v'patish. And that, in my opinion, is the perfect parallel to the ring on the calf. In other words, it's something that's not needed for the functioning of the calf. It's needed to prove to the consumer that the bottle was never opened, like proving to the consumer that the shirt was never worn. It's something that's added only for that purpose, and added knowingly that the first time the consumer is going to use it is going to remove those threads. And yet, it's an issue of makeh v'patish. And to me, that's a perfect thing with the issue of the ring. Now, Rav Yosef doesn't agree with me, and he's by far the biggest posek around. Some interpret Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach to say that it's also, he thinks that it's also mutter. I'm not completely convinced about it. But, you know, those people who open it, Yeshal Milismach, Rav Amital Zatzal, what he used to do is he used to hold the bottle, hold the cap and open it like this, like a shinui, by turning the bottle instead of turning the cap. You know, it's like the question, like, how many gushkais does it take to screw in a light bulb? Or whatever, let's say, the lesser yeshivas guys, you know, so they say, oh, 1,000, one to hold the bulb and the other to turn the base madrash from underneath it. So it's the same thing. It's like derech shinui to open the bottle in such a way. That's what Rav Amital used to do. I'm convinced that it's an issur d'oraita, but yeshal milismoch. These are great poskim. And if I were you in the audience and you had to choose between any one of the three people I mentioned and me, I would not choose me. But I still think I'm right. Yes. Three quarters away, and it's still connected. So it's still, you're still able to screw and unscrew it now, and when you weren't able to do that before. You're not doing the final act, but you might be making. I've seen people try to do that. That idea doesn't always work. You know, a lot of times it's oops, but you know. Yeah, you think.
When you put the cap back on after you've, let's say, finished the whole bottle, is that considered bone after, like, you finish the whole can
of coke? No, you're not changing. In other words, Putting a cap on and off is not bona. Not at all. Neither is like opening the door of your house and closing it. It's not bona.
Right, like, that's it. Is it metaking kli? If it's like you finished off and then you close off at the end.
You're not really modifying the kli. That's the way you use the kli. Yeah.
Two questions. So, why is the makeh v'patish more serious with the bottle of coke than it is with the can of coke by opening it?
Because the can, one could argue that the whole can is meaningless and useless. And those, the can, you're going to throw out immediately. This, you're not going to throw out immediately. And those, let's just say, the can, 99% of the population, you open a can of Coke, you don't put it back in the fridge. Okay? Something like this, there's a huge percentage of people that will specifically use the cap. Well, let's say they just don't want the carbonation to be lost during the meal, so they'll close it again. So you're immediately using and reusing it.
Also, how do we apply the chazan and tearing to paper?
If you haphazardly tear it, according to Chazon Ish, it would not be considered korea.
Like meaning not on the line.
Not on the line. It's not an easy thing to do.
But if you tear it on the line? But if you tear it on the line?
Tearing on the line would probably be a problem of korea. So you could try and tearing not on the line, or you could try the elbow trick, or, you know, tearing with some kind of machinery like that, or... Huh? Of course, if you want to do it before Shabbos, then there's no problem. Yes.
So, two questions. If you open it before Shabbos, it's like not an issue, right?
Not an issue, right?
And then my other question from before, like, does intention matter? Like, say you open the bag of bamba, think you're gonna finish it, and then halfway through it, I'm kind of full, and then you.
No, I don't. I think you should open the bamba using the slash method.
But if one, okay, fine, but saying the person in question didn't know the sake, and opened it, and then have what you're doing for ships.
It doesn't make a difference whether he himself uses it or not. The fact that it's usable as a kli right now, just to have snack, you know, to hold your bomb in one place, and also theoretically usable to close up, is a problem. It should be avoided. Yes, Zach.
Scrap, like, with the milk cartons, like in first Arabs, you basically shouldn't open it on Shabbos.
Again, according to the Sodi Yeshurun, he's the one that says Mufurish that you can. He holds you could open it, you know, tear it open, create the spout, and put it back. I think most other poskim would say you shouldn't do it. It's too clear of a spout that you're creating.
But according to you, isn't there an issue with the plastic lid when you cook?
Hmm?
Wouldn't there be an issue with the plastic lid like when you cook?
What do you mean, an issue?
Sit around it.
This?
On
the milk?
Yeah.
What seal? Oh, you're talking about the knob that you open? Oh, I thought you were going to be old-fashioned, like you spread it and oh, that. I don't know. In other words, I don't know if the cap is connected to a ring, that's a problem. If you have a seal underneath, some of them are made with a seal, like a tinfoil seal, that when you turn it, it's teared open. I think that's less of a problem. Okay? Another issue, by the way, in Israel is eating yogurts with a tinfoil cover. So that some people that feel that it's okay to peel it open because the company, you know, sealed it in such a way that they expect you to open it in that exact spot, and therefore it's not really a problem of Korea. And there is a svara like that. Reluchensing believes that you shouldn't do that, you're better off with the slash method. Again, trying to avoid cutting words if you can. It's hard. Yes, it's hard. Yes.
I was going to ask that with reference to Pringles, but also, if you can get two questions actually. One is that you can get the cap off with the ring intact, which on a lot of bottles it's really easy to do.
I wouldn't say really easy. It's quite a feat, but it could be done.
It's relatively easy to do. So would that be okay?
No, because you're still improving the cap. In other words, it's still far better to have a cap without the ring.
You can't.
And therefore, it's makom apatish. The fact that it's possible to have it function, you know.
No, no, I'm saying that if I were to open the bottle with the ring still attached, now it's.
Then you haven't done anything.
And therefore, it's fine.
Yes.
Okay, and then
well, let me get this straight. If someone let's say I feel is an issa d'oraita.
Yeah.
Okay, and I don't think the person's necessarily going to burn in hell, but I think they're doing an issa d'oraita, but they're being somach on poskim, which is mutter for them.
Right.
I would drink the coke.
No, I understand.
Doesn't make it also.
I think was actually, could you?
It doesn't make it also. Yeah, yeah. Even if every poskim in the world held that it was an issa d'oraita, let's say I went on a campaign and convinced every poskim in the world that I'm right. Okay. And some Jew says, I don't care. You know, this is the way my father did it. This is the way his father did it. I'm going to do it. And he goes ahead and does it anyway. I could still drink the coke. Because it's not really getting hanok from a malach of a Jew. I wouldn't use his cap on Shabbos.
Okay, fine. And then also,
I wouldn't use it to close to reseal the bottle, but to drink the coke is not a problem.
Also, the question you got on the bottom is that the ring is only made to be broken. The ring's actually there to keep it sealed.
No, it's not.
If
the ring does not keep and seal through at all. It's just a safety seal.
If
you remove the ring without turning the top.
No.
Which, by the way, in my house we do every Arab Shabbos.
In a normal case, I'm saying, where you break the seal or whatever, if you remove the ring and put the cap back on, it won't keep the CO2 nearly as well as if you were to leave the top.
That's because you release CO2 when you turn the cap off.
Yeah. No, but between if I have two bottles, and one. I remove the ring and one I don't remove the ring.
Since before you were born, okay, in my house, what we do is, we're big on coke.
Okay.
But we don't release the CO2 because that would be sacrilegious. We would never ever release the CO2 ever.
Right.
We basically take a knife and cut off that ring without moving the cap in the least. Preserve the CO2.
That is dedication.
If you ever invited a guest to my house, you'll notice that all the coke bottles don't have a ring.
I remember noticing that last time.
They don't have a ring on them.
But I know from experience. and you can keep two bottles of.
Well, you're wrong. I'm telling you, you're wrong.
Does it matter? You get the conditional charge.
Like a beer bottle that you open up the beer. There's no problem there. In other words, what you do, to bend that, that's not considered a kli. It's not a kli that's reusable. People don't normally reuse it. Bending that open is not really a problem. Yes, George.
May I recommend?
Huh?
May I recommend?
They don't have those in a year and a half.
Those little guys.
Every shop is covered out.
Yes. Is there a problem? No. You're not doing anything to the core.
You're breaking it.
Not really. I mean, you're making a hole in it, but not. It's not an effective hole. It reseals. It's not an effective hole. There's no problem at all. There's no one that holds. You can't open take a cork out of a bottle. Yeah.
What about like a glass bottle like with a twist top?
Doesn't make a difference if it's glass or plastic. This twist top like this top on a glass bottle.
It's just the twist.
Oh, if you're not seriously modifying the cap, there's no problem to open it. Yes?
Is it worse to do like the racing letters, like cutting the letters, or is it worse to do the cutting issue?
In my opinion, it's worse to separate the glue of the yogurt than to by accident cut letters. Rav Yatsri Mom thinks that healing is okay because it's the company is doing it, sealing it, knowing that you're going to undo it. But Rav Luchenstein disagrees. Doesn't make a difference what it's sealed. Yes? Last question, you've got to go tomorrow.
Yeah? Regarding the Rishon Zahn, that compares the Kenneth Coke to the Dean of Kenneth Coke.
Louder?
The Rishon Zahn that compares the Kenneth Coke.
He's not a cholic. You could ask that question. You could ask, how could you make a spout? He just says that he doesn't see the problem in opening it. He doesn't really go into that. I don't have any answer to your question.
If you have some, like, precious gardens, you can help to a certain